Who is Jesus Christ? That's a very deep question, and the answers to it are very deep and very profound. I made a list of different titles and designations for Jesus that I find in the Bible. This may not be complete, but just listen to the list. Son of God, Son of David, Son of Abraham, Son of Man, Messiah, the servant of the Lord, the good shepherd, the great physician, Savior, the prophet like Moses, King, King of Israel, the stone, the bridegroom, the bread of life, the light of the world, the door, the vine, the way, the truth, and the life, the judge, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the scapegoat, the great high priest, the beloved son, rabbi, good teacher, the gate of heaven, the head of the body, the church, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, the bright morning star, the Lord, the Word, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Holy One of God, the King of Kings, the Mediator, the Coming One, Emmanuel, God with us, the Resurrection and the Life. It occurs to me that that would make quite a sermon series, or quite a lot of points in one sermon. The old Puritans liked really long sermons, but that might be even a bit much for them if you went into all of those. So I don't want to try to go into all that today, but I just want to introduce with that the idea that when we talk about Jesus Christ, we're talking about someone of infinite depth and infinite complexity. And those are just titles and names for him. But even at that, we haven't captured the whole essence of who he is. And so this morning, I want to spend some time just really zeroing in on one aspect of who he is. And this is, how can you possibly be complete? You can't. He is the subject about which there's no end. But for the thoughts that I want us to surround ourselves with this morning, we'll go to Daniel chapter 7. In the book of Daniel, God gives a number of visions that contrast the kingdoms of this world with the coming kingdom of God, and contrasts the power of the kingdoms of this world with the power of the kingdom of God, and God is pictured throughout Daniel as the sovereign ruler of the universe. And in this, in chapter 7, Daniel receives a vision, and in this vision it begins with a vision of four beasts coming up out of a foaming wild sea. For Jews who were not by nature sailors, the sea was always a symbol of chaos and even of evil. And so the symbolism of these beasts coming out of the sea is that these are symbols of evil, chaos. Also, you notice they're beasts that come out of the sea. These beasts stand for kingdoms. But the very fact that they're pictured as beasts says something about them and something about their nature. They're beastly kingdoms. They are wild. They are untamed. They are ungodly.
And so the four beasts represent four kingdoms, kingdoms that actually we have seen represented in other ways earlier in Daniel. And then, in contrast to the four beastly kingdoms, we have a picture of the Ancient of Days, which is a designation for God. And he is seated, he is enthroned. He is clothed in white, standing for purity. The hair of his head is like wool. His throne is a flaming fire, and its wheels are ablaze. Notice this is a throne, but it's a throne with wheels. It's a throne chariot. The same sort of thing that you also see in the prophet Ezekiel as well. And the symbolism also goes back to the Ark of the Covenant. It's easy when, if you grow up in the church and grow up hearing about these images, to not always picture what was really going on with them. But the Ark of the Covenant, on one level, was a box that contained things in it. But it also had cherubim on each side. And in describing the Ark of the Covenant, the Old Testament sometimes speaks of God being enthroned above the Ark. What is the Ark? It's a throne. And in Ezekiel, this symbolism of the Ark as a throne with wheels is brought out. And I think that's the same thing that's going on here in Daniel. God is on his chariot throne. And there's a river of fire flowing, coming out from before him. There are thousands upon thousands who attend him. 10,000 upon times 10,000. I would take these to be angels. The court was seated. The books were opened. Judgment begins on the beastly kingdoms in verses 11 and 12. But then the verses I want us to concentrate on are verses 13 and 14. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me, there was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. In contrast to the beastly kingdoms, we now have a kingdom with a human face. There is this one who is presented before the Ancient of Days, who is like a son of man. Son of man in the Old Testament is used simply as a man. I mean, what's the son of a man? A man. And that's one of the striking designations for Ezekiel, is that he's often referred to as son of man. It just means he's a man. But there's something special about this particular man. Notice what comes next, and it's easy to miss. He's coming with the clouds of heaven. That idea of clouds of heaven is used in the Old Testament a number of times to designate a deity. God, it is God who comes with the clouds. For instance, back in Psalm 68, go back to Psalm 68, and I want you to notice the first four verses. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. As smoke is blown away by the wind, may you blow them away. As wax melts before the fire, may the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God, sing praise to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. Notice in this psalm, and we could continue through the entire psalm, God is called upon in this prayer wish that begins in the first verse, to come and scatter his enemies. The picture in Psalm 68 is of God the warrior. And God the warrior comes and all his enemies just melt before him. They're blown away. They melt like wax. They perish before him. He is coming as the avenging warrior. And in verse 4, the psalmist speaks of singing praise to him, in other words, bragging on him, and extolling him who rides the clouds. The clouds are like a chariot for God. And so this one who is like a son of man in Daniel 7 comes with the clouds of heaven. So on the one hand, he's described as a man. On the other hand, he's described as deity. It's only God who rides the clouds, who comes with the clouds. And then as the description continues, this one like a son of man who's a cloud rider comes into the presence of God and is given authority, glory, sovereign power, which are really strong terms for what he is being given. And then, as a result of this, all peoples, nations, men of every language will worship him or serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion and will not pass away, and his kingdom one that will not be destroyed. Notice he is given full and complete authority and glory, by the way, throughout the Old Testament. Glory is when God's holiness is revealed in the world. God's holiness is something we don't see, we can't see in this life with physical eyes.